Hey, think a trade magazine or newsletter, or for that matter, a newspaper or automotive blog. Now, I bet you'll find an article on automotive technology and advanced driver assist systems, or ADAS. This is a second part of a series on the business side of ADAS because we need to have a continual discussion on advanced driver assist calibration. Should we invest or just outsource the work? In a recent discussion that I had with a shop owner on replacing a sunroof, because the headliner was moved, there needed to be an ADAS calibration. Interesting. So, as you know, vehicle systems are highly integrated, and respecting ADAS to be sure the vehicle is in OE operating conditions is the moral and right side of the importance of getting calibrations done. By the way, part one of this series is Town Hall Academy, episode 138. David Friend is with me along with Matt Lockowitzer and James Carpenter. David points out the near-death accident he had and how the advanced driver systems saved his life. He's grateful for that. He looks at every calibration that he does as a life-saving job that he must perform to the highest level. He has empathy to perform quality calibrations. The key talking points are listed on the show notes page. They'll make a great meeting agenda as you discuss ADAS calibration with your team. Go to remarkableresults.biz/A182. You know, sponsors help make these top-shelf podcasts possible for you. Think Shopware and Shop Marketing Pros to help your business grow. You know, contactless service is the key to keeping your bays full while remaining 6 feet apart. Shopware's completely digital workflow will wow your customers and keep profits up. Tara from Topol Service Center commented recently, "Thank God for this amazing cloud-based software during this difficult time. Can't imagine life without it right now." Thank you, Carolyn, and hashtag Team Shopware. Book a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, look, are you tired of your cookie-cutter website? Is it bringing you new clients? Let my friends at Shop Marketing Pros create a website that's as unique as your shop. You are unique, and you know it. So, show it on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, I hope your business is great. Your schedule is backlogged, and you're doing everything to grow yourself personally and for your business, committing to listen to the great diversity we have in topics and guests and using them as your own personal 20 group is a powerful thing.
I was able to look at the history of how many times it activated the automatic emergency braking system, and the count was extremely high. Either this customer was a horrible driver or there was something else going on. So a little more digging, this vehicle went to a body shop and had a bumper replaced, and they didn't catch the bracket bent. Had it been, you know, either properly pre-inspected or pre-scanned? Because I feel like, you know, when you say pre-scan, it should also include a pre-inspection, you know, a deep visual inspection of any damage underlying to any of the ADAS components of the system. So that's a proper pre-scan at my shops.
Hey, more like this in a minute. Now, the town hall can be viewed live on so many sites, like my Facebook page, the podcast page, even on LinkedIn, the website, and on my YouTube channel. I think for you, one of the most important ways to connect with me is to subscribe to my daily email. You'll get firsthand info on every new release. Also, what's coming up in the week and on Mondays. Yes, you get my view or slant on something that's on my mind. Go to remarkableresults.biz/insider. And if you totally love what we do here and you've ever watched a town hall, you know I love my coffee. Yes, that's coffee in that cup. Buy me a cup of coffee. Go to remarkableresults.biz/coffee. Here's an industry first. Apex announces the first Shop Owner Technician and Service Advisor of the Year Awards. I want you to get involved in that. They'll be presented at Apex 2020, so step to the plate. Nominate a deserving peer or even yourself. Go to aapexshow.com/service awards for all the info. Nominating ends July 31st, coming up. Hey, you know, I keep wearing my mask when I go out, both as a preventative and to protect me. Together, let's help control and beat this virus. Hey, here's another great aftermarket panel discussion talking the business side of ADAS. With me is David Friend, owner of Mobile Tech and Wilmington Hybrids from Wilmington, North Carolina. He's also an ADAS instructor. Matt Lockowitzer is here from Matt's Automotive Service Center, 6 locations North Dakota. He also has a new ADAS calibration center. And James Carpenter, collision manager at East Lake Diagnostics. ADAS comes out so much lately in almost every article that I see or read and in a discussion and the new technology and the vehicles. And of course, we've got to fix that stuff, which ultimately requires someone that has got a lot of knowledge and a lot of equipment. Right, David?
Yeah, there's an extensive amount of equipment that's that you have to obtain. So and it more and more comes out every time a new model seems to be released. Certain manufacturers seem to not go with something standard, especially on the Euro side. Seems like they just come up with more targets as they build them.
So how are you keeping up?
I make the purchases as needed. We see the demand in certain makes more so than others. I don't believe everyone out there doing ADAS is investing in every single make and model, you know, and a lot of guys are moving into the aftermarket side, which gives you 80% of 100% of what they usually say it can do. Really makes it more of a complement to OEM, not so much more of a replacement. You know, guys start to realize the cost of getting into the OEM side is a lot less actually than most of the aftermarket systems, you know, and although they tout it as a one in all box, it just unfortunately is not. As they start to push newer models into the tooling through updates, their misinformation, wrong information, missing information, or just simply doesn't work, or the correct targets aren't available. So OEM is always going to be number one, going to obviously give you better foot in a liability aspect. So, you know, making those purchases and you know, unfortunately investing into your shop, the return on investment's always going to be there if you're suited up and you're advertising, you're going after the body shop markets, you know, you're educating your customers, your body shops, your insurance adjusters. It is a struggle in my market. As a matter of fact, while I was sitting here with you, I got a text message about a body shop questioning a mobile calibration I did and the price. I drove an hour one way and an hour back, and they said the dealer charges less, but of course the dealer doesn't drive to them. So, you know, getting these guys kind of understand what it takes to get to these jobs and what it takes to do these jobs and verify these jobs. You know, anyone can point, click, and measure, but understanding how the system works in a no good situation versus a collision, that's the biggest point, I believe, right now.
And you did this job for a shop? David?
I did. I did it for a body shop, which is it's exactly a 48 and a half minute drive for me with no traffic.
Let me assume that your investment's in the six figure range.
Yeah, that would be close.
No one's willing to pay for that investment, it seems.
You know, insurance companies make their money by not paying out. That's their business model. When they see fixing the car is cheaper than, you know, paying the loan off, obviously they're going to fix the vehicle. So then they start to cut corners. You know, if you talk to body shops, the insurance companies come in and they write their own estimate and they tell you where to buy the parts from. You might deal with 60 vendors on one collision. And then they go in and they say, oh, you know, well, that's too much. You know, we only pay $185 for this, you know, but you know, they're kind of comparing apples to oranges. Doing a Honda front radar calibration is nothing like doing an Audi front radar calibration. I mean, two completely different beasts. I've had insurance companies come back and say, well, we can get it done for $185. And I'm like, where? And they're like, well, the Honda dealer. I'm like, we're talking about an Audi. A lot of it has to go with misinformation or not enough information.
If you're looking at menu pricing that we're going to do X for X, it really depends on the platform also. Matt, have you found that to be true?
Yeah, we're still trying to figure it out too. But I mean, it's every make, model, you know, everything's different. You know, a Chevy compared to an Audi or something like that, completely different animal. It's completely different time invested in it, too.
No one collision is the same. So, yeah. You know, one car hit one way, it's hit differently in another. That's something these guys don't understand. I had a good example was a vehicle left the body shop. A mobile scan company said that it was good, didn't need to require calibration. So the vehicle left. Customer brought it back immediately and said, this thing's just not acting right. It's not changing, not telling me the lanes are changing, vehicles are approaching. So I was called out, diagnosed, and I take it for a drive. Within a few minutes, I'm like, okay, this, you know, I know no good. This is bad. I pull the vehicle in and, you know, I inspect it visually. I pull the bumper back. Don't see anything, put the bumper back on, do the calibration, and it fails. So I said, hey, do you have the old parts? So I grabbed the old bumper. Sure enough, I can see impact damage where the outline of the blind spot radar had made impact onto the bumper. So I pulled it back out. I looked at the bracket a little closer, couldn't really see a bend. And I told him, I said, listen, it's obviously been impacted. It should have been replaced. We need to replace this in the bracket. Once the bracket came in, we put the radar on. Surprise, it calibrated, no problem. Again, it comes down to shops, insurance companies. They have no value in training. They have no value in certifications. They just want it done cheap and fast so they can get the customer out of a rental car and take their cycle times down, and they can save money. But at the expense of what? Liability on the shop, not the liability on the insurance company. And then again, it comes down to the safety aspect. How much do you care about your customer? How much do you care about the dollars that the insurance companies are paying you? You know, so I believe it puts us in a moral dilemma. I like to look at my customer safety first, customer satisfaction second, especially when it comes to ADOS. You know, I look in the back seat, I see car seats, I have a child myself, you know, so I want that car to be right when it leaves. You know, I don't care what the insurance company thinks or their opinion on the matter. It's either going to be done right if I touch it or not. You know, that's kind of where we're at with this industry right now. And it's not like this in every market. I think some markets are a lot better than others. I don't know why that is, you know, because it's the exact same insurance companies. It borderlines being dishonest in certain areas of the country.
Hey, Mike Reynolds was with us the last time. Here's a great comment from him. All the tools in the world won't replace the skills and knowledge needed to perform these calibrations. Have to consider that putting all of the OEM tools in the lap of most technician laps does not mean that they're going to be able to operate those tools correctly. Agree, guys?
100%. Oh,
yeah. Mike makes Mike makes a very valid point. And I talk with Mike all the time about this kind of stuff. It goes back to training. You know, Mike's a trainer. He can tell you, he'll take a room full of 25, 30 guys, and there's maybe two or three guys in there that can just pick this up and run with it. And then the rest of the guys are going to lag and struggle until they get kind of comfortable with procedures. You know, a lot of guys who are getting into ADOS don't even know where to source OEM service information. I get phone calls all the time for tech support. And my first question to them is, well, did you pull up the service information? And they go, well, how do I get that information? That's a big deal. You know, it's
scary. It's scary too.
It is. Absolutely.
So guys, ADAS is taking us to a level of technology, knowledge, training, equipment. You got to read. You got to study. You got to know math. Is it a higher level than being like an A-tech diagnostician, Matt?
Yes and no. I think the biggest thing is they have to be willing to learn and understand it. You know, we preach description operation and understanding that before you even pick up a tool or pick up anything. I mean, it was very, very important, even after we sent them to days and days and days of school, that they had to understand everything. You know, and it's a lot. It's difficult. I mean, most techs don't want to do it. Most body techs don't want to do it. So trying to find somebody that's willing to even want to take this stuff on has been a little challenging too. Nobody wants the liability of it, I guess, is what it comes down to, I think. So
more so not the liability aspect, but guys just don't understand the technology. You know, there's definitely a divide in our industry, even on the diagnostic side of the auto industry, where there's just this huge gap that's just getting bigger and bigger, where you've got guys who are mechanically sound. They can take apart anything and put it back together and do it within accuracy and speed and efficiency. But then you throw an electrical or drivability concern to them, and they're just like fish out of water. So I think a lot of it has to do, these guys just don't understand. And I've had guys come to our training facility who had no idea what ADOS is, but boss man said, I'm buying this equipment. I'm buying the OEM tooling. You need to go and learn it. And by the time they leave, they're like, man, I feel so much more comfortable. Like, everything's explained to me, how these systems, you know, integrate, you know, how to do these actual calibrations. You know, it's really not that bad, because it's not. It's not that bad to do a calibration. You just, like you said, Matt, you have to be able to read, comprehend what you're reading, and then apply it. So, you know, you can take a contractor. My buddy Kirk Holland, he's out in Texas. He does a lot of mobiles. He owns Gladney Automotive down in Texas, brick and mortar shop. He's a big ADOS guy. And he told me flat out, all you got to do is give me a guy who can do measurements, a carpenter, anything like that, and I can make him an ADOS guy in no time. And he's done that.
I was thinking of that with the ruler, because I went to an ADAS calibration class in a hotel with a car in the room. We actually did a calibration, and I was shocked to see how elementary to a point it was, by, you know, measuring and taping and plumb bobs and all that stuff. And I says, I think I could do this. I even thought I could do it.
Math and science.
Hey, Carm here. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's, and you're not even sure it's working? Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best. Run a shop and fix cars. Do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. Hey, you know, auto repair is a high-dollar, high-value transaction, and your customer sensitivity about how much it costs and why is never more important than when you ask them to pay the bill. While these conversations can sometimes feel awkward or uncomfortable, it's important that you don't fall down and cheapen your services at the final step. Shopware's shop management platform now offers a solution that helps you showcase the value and sophistication that you've invested throughout the repair. With our innovative digital workflow, customers can review, approve, and even pay for services right from their smartphone. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Jim, you're a virgin at this. Matt, you just started. James, I think you're even more of a virgin at ADAS, but you have committed to put up a facility. Any of the stuff that you've been hearing ring a bell to you?
Yeah, we're a virgin at doing it. We have about 8 certifications with the manufacturers. Our guys are trained in this way. Is, you know, I have, like, you know, the Accenture for Mercedes-Benz. We wouldn't calibrate them. For a while, we would come up, we would run the ports, run the post scan. I would see what would fail. Being the vehicle was going back to the same dealer where the customer bought the car and wanted to pick it up, I would just have that done at the dealer. Okay, I would send my report and then I would request their report back as to what they did to this vehicle. I've been dealing with this since before 2010 even, you know, when it was just parking sensors and stuff like that. And then as it started to progress, and we're all looking at this, I've got a couple tools coming in that are manufacturer level. Like I have Toyota and Lexus. I have Infiniti and Nissan. I have Accenture. What do you call it? Porsche's coming in, that equipment to be able to do all the ADAS on that. As a matter of fact, they're training a fella outside right now. Like you say, you know, with a ruler, it's all lasers. It's all math. I'm doing the research on it because it's changing so. You know, but like David, you said, like an Audi is different than, you know, a certain car. Like, you know, here's a picture of a, you know, with what I'm trying to put together for these insurance companies is almost a training class because I used to do it with high strength steel and cars that we somehow accumulated and marked them. And before they could even look at the car, they would have to come in and see how this particular car was constructed, you know, and what they were being billed for. And why? Because there's so many different steels. And the steels have, over the last 4 years, have just, like a snowball running down the hill. As far as, you know, like here's an Audi. Like, this is dual. Let's see. This one's taken off a laser on both sides of this particular model. So, you know, it's a lot of research. I understand the concept well because we've been dealing with it. The reports we get and everything we get, but we just sub them out right to the dealer.
You're subbing what out, though, Jim?
The calibrations. I've already run the pre and post scan.
You are going to start doing them yourself?
Yes, we are doing them right now.
Let's talk about the marketing aspect of opening an ADAS calibration center, Matt, David. You can't put one on every corner in every marketplace. You just can't decide, I've got a bay, it's perfect, let me put an ADAS calibration center without a decent business plan and taking a look inside the market.
You're right. You're 100%. What I have two brick and mortar shops. We're general repair. So we do everything from Asian, domestic, Euro, specialize in hybrid, you know, so we work on Tesla, you name it. It comes to the shop. If it's legal, federal use on the road, we're down. We'll work on it. So what I did is I looked at my market. How many glass companies are there doing windshield? 7. How many body shops are in the area? About 14 or 15. And so I just went around to them and said, hey, you know, we do alignments. We do tires. We do diagnostics. Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, it's always nice to have a backup. Well, who's doing your calibrations? Our what? And that was the answer I got from most of these. So I went back and I put together some flyers And I went back and I took the time to talk with the shop manager, and I explained to them, hey, you know, here's the deal. I know you're using remote companies to do their pre and post scans. If there's no codes, you're just shipping them down the road. Here's a liability aspect. And being able to show them pictures and documentation of case studies, you know, vehicles that came into the shop with issues, that was a push. If there's a body shop in the Wilmington area, we do them. We do them all. Certain cases, they still take it to the dealer. You know, maybe I just did a bad job of letting them know, hey, we're quicker, you know, and we do it better. For the most part, most of the body shops bring them to our shops. They feel confident in what we do. They understand that we're thorough and that we're vigilant in making sure that it's correct when it leaves. You know, that's the biggest point. Like, anybody can do a calibration. Anybody can be trained to do a calibration. But understanding if the system functions correctly when it leaves your hands is number one. You know, and a post scan doesn't give you that. Being able to drive good and bad. I think a verification process with the OEMs, you know, that's going to be a standout and a big deal moving forward, especially when we're going into autonomous vehicles. We need to verify that these systems are functioning 100% within spec. And I don't think the OEM gives us much to do that other than a calibration and then knowing whether or not it's behaving correctly when you're driving it.
How do we fix that?
We look at the gatekeepers in our industry, you know, the guys that are kind of, you know, supposed to be going up to the OEMs and saying, hey, you know, we need access to information so that we can repair these cars. I think maybe pushing these gatekeepers, you know, like NASTIF, to kind of get more on the ball and get these OEMs to release more information to us, to give us access directly to technical support that the OEM offers to their franchise dealers. In our country, you know, the customer has to right to choose where the vehicle goes. You know, we have laws in every state that allow a customer to pick where the vehicle is to be repaired. And, you know, those laws are great, but when I own a shop and I have a hard time getting, say, a Ford factory scan tool to work correctly for 2 years, you know, that limits my ability to, you know, the best I can be to my customer when they bring me the vehicle. You know, we need to work more with OEM manufacturers to get this information out, not only the right information, but get it in a timely manner, kind of hitting a brick wall. The Right to Repair Act, you know, wasn't this glorious thing. I mean, it helped our industry, but there's so many pitfalls to it. A lot of us are starting to run into these walls.
The industry's working hard to get, you know, to up in Massachusetts to get protection for our data, and hopefully it blossoms from there. Matt, you are recently an ADAS calibration center. Could you walk us just a little bit about your thoughts on facility bay requirements?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I tried to look at, you know, all the manufacturers that we typically work on, what their requirements were, what kind of space I needed for that. And I realized quickly that none of my facilities that I had were probably be the best for that, for how many calibrations I was looking at doing and things like that. So we started looking at, do we have opportunities in other sites? So I actually purchased another building and we actually moved it into that site. And I wanted to make sure it hit all the marks that we needed to hit to do the calibrations we did. But I also wanted it to be kind of a separate entity so we could go after the independents and the whole nine yards with that. And I actually see a lot from body shops, but I also see a lot from repair shops. I mean, if you do anything with a sunroof or do anything with any, you know, anytime you're maneuvering something, you have to calibrate stuff. And then I, you know, the reason I even went into this was because we were sending stuff out to dealerships and you call and say, I need a calibration done. And it's almost like you hear crickets, like they don't even know what you're talking about. That terrified the hell out of me. And so we started researching it. It took me, you know, a year and a half, 2 years to finally pull the trigger. But I mean, it was the amount of cars we were seeing. And then we just went after, and I just started going into body shops and introducing us as a separate, you know, entity, and said, we can do all this. We have this kind of training, this and that. The facility's here. We'll pick up and deliver the vehicles. That was a huge thing. The pickup and delivery was probably the biggest home run, was the body shops don't want to have to deal with it after that. They call us, we pick it up, we calibrate it, we bring it back, it's done with a report, here you go. And they don't complain. I haven't had a single complaint about charges at all.
Logistically, Matt, tell me about the pickup and delivery. Are you using flatbed tow, or are you driving it without?
It depends on the calibration. I mean, and how far we're going with it and stuff like that. I would say it's 50-50. We know we do have two wreckers that are mainly just for us, you know, to maneuver cars from store to store and things like that. But we started using it for that reason. And then we do drive some of them depending on the calibrations needed. So
are you the first in your market area to be doing this?
Nobody else has an ADAS calibration. There are some mobile glass guys that are trying to do them, but we're finding a lot. They're having a lot of problems. So we've gotten a lot of calls from them to help them. I don't think those guys are trained real well on how to operate what they're doing.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about those big groups. I mean, because when I look at like Mike and so many of the other mobile diagnosticians that are out there that are doing ADAS, I mean, they're into the training and the equipment. I mean, maybe I'm coming up with the wrong word, David or Matt, but the independent mobile guy that's, if you will, not attached to, say, a big glass conglomerate.
And we don't have any people that do that here mobily. It's the big glass conglomerates. That's all we have. I'm getting a lot of work on from them because there are guys that just installed windshields. They don't know what they're calibrating or how they're doing it, and it's kind of scary.
David, OEM versus aftermarket regarding tools. I believe you're a big OEM person. Am I right?
We have aftermarket tooling. I'll give you a good example. There's an aftermarket radar stand that is just leaps and bounds better than anything some of the OEMs have offered. It's sturdy. It doesn't blow over in the wind if you're doing a mobile. They have measurements on it, so it's precise. So can the aftermarket offer us solutions in ADAS? Absolutely. But it will never replace OEM. It just can't. Nothing aftermarket has ever exceeded OEM. Even though they'll tell you it does, that's just not the case. Do I think you're taking more liability on by using aftermarket? No, I don't. Because again, at the end of the day, the most important thing is confirming the vehicle is fixed. And the only way to do that is to know what a good operating vehicle is versus a non-good operating vehicle. So you have to know known good, known bad, and you have to do this. You have to verify the vehicle is done correctly after you do the calibration. We've done extensive in-house testing of aftermarket and OEM. You know, I've used OEM targets with aftermarket scan tools. I've done OEM scan tools with aftermarket target. Can you tell the difference when you drive the vehicle? Absolutely not. When you look at the specs before and after, during the drive, live data, there's no significant difference. In my opinion, where the aftermarket really kind of falls is when you get into the late model stuff and they're giving you the wrong information for the wrong models. And guys are struggling and, you know, they're adjusting measurements. And then what they're doing is they're bringing that vehicle to the lowest threshold that you can possibly give it to get a pass. And so then they run into issues down the road where vehicle passes, but when you go drive it after a few weeks, it eventually sets a code because it's not properly calibrated. There's certain models out there that do that. So I think that's the big issue that we see, but it's just a compliment to OEM. You have to have OEM tooling in your shop doing ADAS. Matt, do you guys use OEM tooling?
We have a combo.
We've got the aftermarket systems, you know, maybe Altel or some of the other offerings now. I guess Launch has one. Do you use those? Do you ever see any where it's just, okay, it doesn't work? You have to move into the OEM?
On our side, the Autel's done most of them, but we have had a couple where it didn't seem like the calibration went like it should, and that's when we started researching. Honestly, if you just look online, sometimes you can find people complaining about this one didn't work or whatever. And Autel's actually been really good, at least for us. You know, you can call them and say, hey, you know, we're having this problem. They'll actually recommend an OEM one. So at least they've been with us. They've been really good about saying, hey, we're not quite there yet, at least.
Sure. You know, if you get component replacement on a Ford, you know, where you have to do a PMI on it, you know, the Altel doesn't do that.
Yep.
You get into the Nissans where you have to load in a CSV file. You know, Altel's not going to do that. You know, there's certain instances with Honda where the measurements are just wrong. They've been wrong since the system's been introduced. Or guys end up test driving those things for 3-4 hours. So, you know, whenever somebody contacts me and says, hey, I have an issue, I'm like, you just need to whip out the OEM targets, whip out the OEM scan tool, and pay $25, for God's sakes, and go online and use the service information. You know, it's not that hard. You know, you're charging a premium price anyway. Why not just buy the service information for a day and get some of the information you need?
Why do I sense some of this discussion, this menu pricing, charging enough, not charging enough, the cost of doing the law? Why is this a big deal?
Money, profit. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Everyone here has a business. We're all in it to be profitable. Some of us like to do it on a moral high ground, and some of us don't. I feel like the insurance companies, you know, they see this as, you know, something that if they can cut the cost now and set the standard for pricing now, as these every vehicle requires these calibrations, you know, they can turn it into like a 1999 oil change type service, you know, where they're just paying peanuts to get this done and out and get these cars back on the road. Some of these calibrations, I mean, you know, shops, dealerships, and mobile guys, they have to charge $800 to $1,200 to be profitable in doing this in the time it takes. Insurance companies don't see it like that.
The insurance companies are pushing back on a collision repair, whatever they would have estimated that ADAS calibration is inside of there, which is maybe why there's pushback. But back into Matt, who was it mentioning? You know, you did a Sun thing and the headliner, I mean, there is no collision, someone pushing back on a price. I mean, you're going to have to charge what you need to not only pay for your education, pay for your building, but pay for your equipment.
Yeah, but that was a customer pay one, so that was fine. But if that would have been a collision or something like that, yeah, it would have been a different ball game. I look at this as just when pre and post can started. I mean, we were constantly fighting, and we're still fighting some of them. I mean, and it's ridiculous. I mean, this is how they protect themselves, and we protect us, and we protect our customers, and we're fighting with these guys to pay $100, $150 to do this. Trying to get a calibration done. I mean, they're trying to menu price us.
Yeah.
Some of these calibrations take 6 hours. I can't pay my bills. And then they want to pay body shop rate instead of mechanical rate. That's not right either.
Are they hiding behind total ignorance?
I think they're more informed than they play off. I think they're trained to, I mean, their name of the game is to save money. I mean, that's what it is.
Jim, you've been in the collision business a long time. Your perspective?
Well, they're very educated, certain companies. I don't want to name names, but, you know, some of them are very, and, you know, some companies go by, one company, you know, they go by deny, then they go by defend. They use that tactic, and they're taught to use that tactic where they deny something, then you've got to defend it, okay, and then they'll pay. But I've kind of snotted their nose in a different way. They try to menu price like this, or this isn't worth that, or, you know, this shop will do it. Like you're talking about, there's a shop out of somewhere, I think Florida, that you could buy a head and they would, you know, go into your car. But I'll say, you know, okay, I do similar amount cars. They go, this isn't worth that. So I go, then you're not allowed to use my facility. You're not allowed to use my machines. You're forbidden. I said, actually, I might, you know, I think I'm going to go in and fire all the mechanics right now.
Is this something new, Jim, David, Matt? You've got the equipment set up, but somebody's doing it at the other end. How could that be?
Let's say you're the field adjuster, and then you're on the phone with your manager, and they're going, I got this bill for X to calibrate, say, two systems. They go, well, we only pay this, right? So I'll go, this you can get one time, one shot. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, all right, if I have to accept this, but now you're forbidden from using any of my OEM tools. You're forbidden from that, and the next cars go to the dealer, and then I'll snot their nose with two very legitimate high dealer bills plus the tows. And then I'll get a call from the manager, and what is going on? I said, well, last time you acted like this is just child's play. I have to make sure this car is right, and we will throw enough money at a car to make sure that it's right. You know, and like David said, these cars got to be test driven. Sometimes you got to send a second technician to force an event so you're safe to see if it works. Now, I've been researching. There's this fellow, Frank Turlop, I've known. He came out with a product that was the co-pilot test drive. And you would hook it into the OD port and, you know, it would read the time. And then if you sent a second technician and forced an event, it would show that the systems are working, and then it would print a ticket. He's trying to sell this. I haven't bought it yet. I was going to kind of ask him, listen, I'll pay you for 1 month. Let me verify it against, you
know. Sounds scary. Sounds scary. I don't want to be in the car. I don't want to be the guy enforcing the event on that either. So,
well, they tell you right in the things to go get a Go camera, put right. it in there to take it for a test drive. And you may need to sit. When I say force an event, you're going to come up next to the car to see if a
sure.
blind spot works.
Spot is off. Yeah. There's easier ways to verify, but I don't know if I want to send two of my technicians out and say, how close
we won't. We won't, but I'm new at this, but I'm not new in the business, and I'm not new. It's kind of like, I know a lot about engineering or computers, okay? I know how they function. I know what they can do. And if I had two engineers in front of me, I could be like an orchestra and tell them what I want done. Not that I could do it,
It's interesting to see these large corporations and how their attempts kind of facilitate the verification process. So they've developed these giant dyno systems that are basically like rolling virtual streets where it will throw objects at the sensors and mimic traffic maneuvers and things like that on a dyno, you know, to do these verifications. And these systems, I mean, they're multi-million dollar setups. Yeah, I've seen videos and pictures of setups in Germany where manufacturers have kind of teamed up together to kind of develop these centers. And so I think moving forward to autonomous, I think it's going to be similar setups like that. Because our infrastructure here in the U.S. will not support a fully autonomous vehicle for, I mean, at least another 20 years, in my opinion. But you never know. You know, the railroads and the interstates, it didn't take long before they dumped a bunch of money and built those infrastructures. And, you know, our country's due for a big investment in infrastructure. And I think one of the big ones is going to be transportation. I mean, you know, it's either going to be autonomous driving or it's going to be a rail system.
David, Matt, Jim, one of the thoughts that I had, and I can't remember, Matt, if in this part one that we did, I think it was 50 weeks ago, something like that, we talked about self-calibration and the evolution of technology that says, you put on that blind spot sensor, you run it through a couple of DIAG programs, and it's going to figure itself out. You know, even if you put it in slightly wrong, the internal workings of it would help recalibrate it. Do you see that possibly coming?
Do I? Yeah, absolutely. I think most of this is going to go from static to dynamic, you know, where you put the component in, it's programmed or it's coded, you know, you do the module installation and you tell it, hey, I've replaced you. I'm going to take you on a test drive now. And it's going to look for certain conditions, you know, ambient temperature. I mean, these cars can even detect, you know, solar, so it knows how much light's out there. And then it's going to run through its process, and it's going to determine whether or not it's in a good position on the vehicle and it's been properly installed, and it's going to verify itself. I think a lot of that's coming down the road. But even still, once the vehicle thinks it's good, you know, once the machine says, I'm good, there still needs to be a further verification process. And that's where the OEMs are spending all this money overseas, you know, to develop these technologies, these dyno setups to mimic the road conditions. No one wants to get slapped with a $100 million lawsuit.
I just got this off of General Motors. It's talking about when to calibrate, like, say, a front windshield was replaced. Okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that document.
And then it's document 557683. And then it's talking about the slow calibration where this actually will self-calibrate itself. So I don't know enough about it. You know, I just happened to catch it yesterday and to read about it. You know, so it's a lot of research. But like you say, it says, you know, it's going to self-calibrate only if it doesn't have these certain codes that come up. So I'm like, that's interesting.
It's not a perfect science yet, I think. Is that what you believe,
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, it's not. No, it's well, it says here, you know, the calibration of the windshield, it says after following your DTCs in the front view, if this code comes up, B1018 data and then a B395D is misaligned, then I don't think it'll self-calibrate. But if those codes don't come up in the post-scan, you're supposed to be able to drive this thing. It's telling me here if I'm reading it right. But again, I don't know enough about it until I really were to either talk to somebody that's a little bit more knowledgeable than us, to be honest with you.
The hard part about all this stuff is they don't have this figured out at the OE level yet. And I mean, you can drive a brand new truck down the road and all of a sudden the adaptive cruise shuts off for no reason. I mean, you're on the interstate and there's nothing there. And I mean, I'm hearing this left and right at OE level that they're still struggling and they don't have it figured out quite yet. And we're trying to work with imperfect information. So
these are the things I want to go to. This is manufacturer level. There's going to be 20 speakers at this. There's one from Toyota, how they're designing this equipment. It's John Ling, the CEO, chairman of Histronics Technologies. This is next generation for lasers, for LiDAR applications, striking a balance between cost and performance.
But Jim, we're talking about all adding on all that equipment, and I respect that. But I want to get back to this whole ADAS discussion here. We have to be perpetual students. I get that. We're really trying to talk to the aftermarket and say, hey, should I put an ADAS calibration center in or not? Is it worth it? And I think it goes back to no different than the discussion we had about a year ago, David. Marketplace business plan And I think the thing that's scaring me this time around, this discussion around, is the kind of discussion we're having on pricing and menu pricing and getting beat down. And I think that's something to think about, because in a business plan, you could put revenue goals in there. And if you get beat up on your revenue goals, Matt, you could have a challenge. I want to come back with one final thought. And, you know, we're not coming up with any conclusion to this, but it was a great, great dialogue, everyone. One of the thoughts that I had as this discussion was going on, in that whole self-calibration mentality, David, you know, I know some off-the-chart diagnosticians in our industry. You probably have some working for you. Great guys who have so committed to their career, continue to learn. They want to find a diagnostic path, not a silver bullet. They're going to have to move into ADAS calibration diagnostics, because when that when that dynamic calibration, David, one day down the road doesn't quite work, you're going to have to send it to the ADAS brainiac surgeon.
I'll give you a good example. I had a vehicle that was at multiple shops and had multiple repairs done to the ABS and brake system. Everything from a master cylinder to an ABS module, everything. And the customer's complaint was, as they're driving down the road, every now and then the vehicle will apply the brakes. I think a lot of this had to do with the wrong questions, or maybe not the right response from the customer with information. But once the vehicle arrived at my shop, my question was, when does this activate? Oh, typically in a two-lane road. Okay. And, knowing the year, make, and model, you know, my first thought was, well, it's already had every, brake part thrown at it. It's got to be something else tricking this into thinking that it needs to apply the brakes. And sure enough, with an OEM capable scan tool, I was able to look at the history of how many times it activated the automatic emergency braking system. And the count was extremely high. Either this customer was a horrible driver or there was something else going on. So a little more digging, this vehicle went to a body shop and had a bumper replaced. And they didn't catch the bracket bent. Had it been, either properly pre-inspected or pre-scanned, because I feel like, when you say pre-scan, it should also include a pre-inspection, a deep visual inspection of any damage underlying to any of the ADOS components of the system. So that's a proper pre-scan at my shops. We do the visual inspection with it. Had that been done, they would have caught the fact that the bumper was damaged enough that it pushed the bracket in, and the bracket being aimed wrong was causing the brakes to activate whenever it saw a vehicle. Had these shops had proper training, had these shops been kind of what I like to say in the spearhead of what's going on in our industry and the integration of these vehicles, to understand that the brake system is no longer a brake system. It is a part of a total car package now that people are purchasing. To kind of understand that, if you're going to do brake work, on late model vehicles that are equipped with these ADOS systems, you have to understand how they integrate, how every system is now attached to one another. Even with SRS repairs, there's functionality that's tying into the brake system. So, there's a whole lot that goes into, these total car packages now that were these customers purchasing, that we're servicing, and a lot of guys just don't take the value, I feel like, in training, or they're just not in the right environment. They're not in the right culture where training's offered. But it's a two-way street. Shops need to offer the training. As a shop owner, you have to spend the money and invest in your people, just like you do in your boat or your motorcycle or anything that you enjoy. If you want to stay ahead, you want to be in a good environment, you want your guys to be happy, trust me, they're a lot happier when they understand what they're working on. And, offering that training, but at the same time, technicians need to understand that either you have a job or you have a career. If you have a job, you're just showing up for a paycheck, you're fine. But if you have a career, you need to be involved in training. And not just what the shops offer, but you need to go home and take time and you have to learn, continuing education. It doesn't stop or start when you show up to work. You can't just get by like that anymore. Unfortunately, I think those days are gone in our industry where you can get most of your training on the job. I feel like a lot of it, you're going to have to research on your own, because, where it took 6 to 7 years for technology to change in the automotive industry, we're looking at 2 to 3 years, even sometimes quicker, where this technology is just being thrown out there on the market.
And that's what our techs learned is, you got to figure pre-COVID, 45 cars went out of here a week. When they would come back, because we'd send it out for a calibration and for a blind spot, and a dealer would tell me, well, I got to remove the bumper and I got to remove this. I'd say, nope, just bring it back. And that same tech's got to take it apart. And then that's how, like David said, you learn the pre-inspection. You look at, really everything. And that's what sparked this, was to learn this before I really offered to the general public to any degree, because there is a lot to learn. And from what I've been reading, it's going to be an ever-changing industry very quickly, as far as what they're adding. And I wasn't trying to force the training but like Matt said, even the manufacturers don't, know everything. And the only thing that caught my eye about that other one is there was 15 people that were designing each system that were going to give it. And then there's, I think it's EE Times, which I'm trying to get with, which is this one's an aerospace, and it's a tutorial on driver assistance and an induction to adaptive cruise control part one. And it's put on by Texas Instruments. David said, this is on my own time. This is like after, you're researching this so you can kind of understand it. It's going to change fast. And then that's going to, in my opinion, dictate how many ADAS centers you're going to be able to put up, or what's going to be able to put up, and how you are going to discern the information to an insurance company who's paying. Because here in Jersey, I could send the car to David. Okay, David could do the calibration and everything. He sends me back the report. Everything is correct. I've taken the car for a test drive. I really feel confident, like he said, with two baby seats in the back. And God forbid, I'm not saying that would happen. There was just something missed. Okay, David's not even on the hook in this state. I am.
You're the end user. You're the one who handed the keys to the customer. It's your logic.
Well, it doesn't matter. If I could sub it to, whoever for something, even a wheel alignment, I'm busy.
I know exactly what you mean. I wouldn't even be here talking to you right now had it not been for the last car I was driving in an accident. I had a 2019 Honda, which actually was 2019 and a half. It was equipped with Honda's latest safety sense systems. That vehicle, not only did it anticipate the object approaching too fast, it also made a maneuver to move me out of the way and allow that vehicle to pre-deploy the airbags in a certain way. It saved my life. I'd be dead right now. I would probably have had my head decapitated in that accident had the vehicle not steered the 10 degrees that it did to avoid the collision. That really put into perspective, the ability to walk away from an accident where most people don't walk again from, or even live in those type of accidents. The perspective it put to me was, had that system been improperly calibrated or improperly repaired somewhere, would it have performed in the manner it did when it did? To save my life, and when I do these systems, I think about that. I think I want whoever's driving this car to be able to come home one day, to survive the next accident. Because obviously they walked away from this one, hopefully when I'm in that car. So, there's a lot to think about, guys, when you're doing these. And if you're out there listening right now, don't cut corners. Don't. It's not worth it.
No, like you talked about the baby seats. It had nothing to do with ADAS. It has to do with morality. I see two baby seats in the back. Okay, I will cut them. They're not usable anymore. And then I'll call the claim rep. I'll call the customer. The customer will go buy one and turn the receipt in. I just send a picture that I've disabled the car seat, that it cannot be used again. Even though there may be nothing wrong with it, I don't know that.
Why risk it?
There's so much more to talk about. This one places that, again, every town hall academy seems to find its own life and it grows and it does great things. Thank you, David Friend, Mobile Tech in Wilmington, Hybrids from Wilmington, North Carolina, and an ADAS trainer in the industry. Matt Lockowitzer, Matt's Automotive Service Center, North Dakota. And James Carpenter, Collision Manager, East Bay Diagnostics. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. Share this stream over the weekend. And I appreciate, guys, you being here. Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Matt. David.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.